Hello, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio, and welcome to Faith in Action. It's a new show that we locally produced here in Sioux City, Iowa, but we serve the tri-state area, and we are just so tickled that you set your dials to 88.1 FM and to learn more about good stuff that goes on with your Catholic faith. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm a Siouxland Catholic Radio board member, and I am the host for today's show. And again, thank you so much for tuning in. Well, we have quite the exciting event that's coming up in October. It is Rekindle. It is the event formerly known as the Youth Rally. And I will talk about it several times, time, date, place. If you don't have a pencil, paper, pen, your phone, your calendar, it is Sunday, October 17th. It is at Kemper High School in Carroll, Iowa. It is for 7th through 12th graders, boys and girls. It has two tracks. So there's one track where middle school students are experiencing breakout sessions and other things. And then the high school students have their own track. Check-in is at 9:45 in the morning, so not too early. And then during the day, there is music, there are breakout sessions, there is Mass, there is the opportunity for the Sacrament of Reconciliation, there is adoration, there's lunch, there's dinner, and then the whole day concludes at 7 p.m. Now, this is the interesting part of this, and I will mention it several times during this program. You can't just walk in the door. You have to register, and you have to register through your parish by October 1st. And why? Well, because if they're doing lunch and dinner, they got to have a pretty accurate count for the food, but they also have handouts and things like that. So they need to make sure they're not, you know, using their resources in an inappropriate way by running stuff off that they don't really need. So again, that deadline to register is October 1st. Now, as you know, we air this program twice. So the second time this program airs is Saturday, October 2nd, which the deadline has passed. But let me tell you, if on Monday, October 3rd, you reach out to your parish and go, I heard the excellent interview that Joanne Fox did on Siouxland Catholic Radio. Please, I want my son, daughter, niece, nephew, cousin, whatever, to participate in this. I bet the parish will make an exception to the rule. And the reason why you think this is so good is the individual that I have on the phone with me, who is the keynote speaker, and that is Chris Padgett. He is a speaker, he's a musician, he's an author, he's a jack of all trades, and I'm so tickled he has taken time out of his busy schedule to talk to me today. So thank you so much for joining me, Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. What a blessing. You are so informative. I'm telling you, everything that you said makes me want to come and be a part of that event.
Well, that's good to hear. And I suppose the organizers are also tickled to hear that you're going to be a part of the event.
So I'm excited. We were planning this last year, and of course, the year that shall not be named happened, and obviously we needed to reschedule. So I'm so elated, and it's time. I mean, kids are ready.
I think all of us are ready. And, yeah, that doesn't surprise me that the kids are ready, too. I mean, they really want to get together with other young people that are of the same faith and to celebrate their faith. So, Chris, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Right. I've been doing ministry full-time, travel around, speaking and events for probably 25 years at least. A long time ago, I was in a band. It was a boy band. There were three other guys. We were not stereotypically good-looking, nor were we necessarily slender and appealing to people. But we did make music, and people seemed to like it. Band was Scarecrow and Tin Men. It was a long time ago.
Scarecrow
Tin Men, T-I-N-M-E-N.
Oh, Scarecrow and Tin Men.
That was back in the days of, like, Jars of Clay and, Newsboys and DC Talk. And so, you know, we were in that world, and we had a couple albums that came out. And I got the bug to go and share and to talk about my faith and And the longer the band was together, I think the favorite part for me was when I get a chance to talk to the audiences about God. And so the long and the short of it was when I transitioned and started doing speaking full time, I realized that's my great passion. And so I use a lot of humor and still do a little bit of music sometimes and some prayer stuff. But the kids are going to have a great time. I mean, I still remember how to be pretty silly and fun. And then we turn a corner and try to dive a little bit deep and encourage them to say yes to what God has in store for them.
Well, and tell the listeners a little bit about where you grew up.
Right. So I'm kind of a Midwesterner. I mean, my roots are deep in the Great Plains. When I was a kid, we lived in North Dakota, and then Valley City, North Dakota. And then I moved and started my third grade year in Chamberlain, South Dakota, and we lived... Actually, that's not correct. I started my sixth grade in Chamberlain, South Dakota. So most of my childhood and early teen years, mid-teens, were in the Great Plains. My best friends were ranchers, and there's something special about a small community. So in a lot of ways, when I come to places like Iowa and Kansas and, Nebraska, of course, the Dakotas, it's like going home. And over the years, I've had just such a great connection with people from Iowa. I did a lot of work in Des Moines. And so anyway, it's kind of coming home and being a part of folks that, kind of remind me of what my childhood was like.
And Chamberlain, South Dakota isn't all that far from Sioux City, Iowa, quite honestly. And right. And Vermilion, South Dakota is actually in our listening area as well. So there
isn't
we
crazy?
Go. Isn't
that
it is
yeah.
crazy? So after high school, did the boy band take off and did you start touring the country or what else did you do?
Yeah, so I actually the band started after I was married and had a couple kids. So we started the band when I was living down in Florida, and it did take off. We were a kind of a local hit to a degree. We did a lot of stuff in Florida. And then we started getting some opportunities, and we got signed by a national label, and we began to do work all over the country, and we had music that was played on the radio and all that stuff. And then around Easter of 1999, I had been really interacting with a lot of people from, different denominations because of the band, and specifically the Catholic Church. And in Easter of 1999, after about a year or two of really diving in, I decided, I think I need to begin RCIA. And so my wife and I, even though the band was still going and we were kind of a band that had national releases through the Christian contemporary music scene, we entered RCIA and became Catholic that Easter of 1999. Was, without a doubt, probably the most important life-changing decision that we as a couple had made, and it changed everything. And so for us, when the band kind of stopped doing its thing, I was, well underway to growing in my Catholic faith and wanting to share that with others. And I found that I had a good natural fit in parishes all over the world, really.
Did you have an epiphany, like St. Paul, knocked off the horse saying, what are you doing there? You need to embrace the Catholic faith. Or was it kind of a gradual conversion?
Yeah. I think it was a little of both, and that seems weird to say, but I'll explain. We, as a band, we were asked one time to drive out to, we were given a gig opportunity in Gallup, New Mexico, the diocese there. At that point, we weren't Catholic yet, and so I had tried to set up a bunch of gigs along the way and back so it wasn't a wasted trip. So when we got there, we were worn out from the drive and, the longevity of it all, that we were just happy to be someplace. And we were running through the meeting with this lady, her name was Lena Clapper, about what was going to happen for the diocesan rally. And at midway through, she looked at me and she's like, let me ask you a question. It's a little late now, but you're not Catholic, are you? Somehow, in our discussion with her, she had picked up that we weren't actually Catholic. And I said, no, we're not, but we do Catholic events all the time, so please don't make us drive through Texas again. That was insane. But we ended up doing this event, which is still so hilarious to me because we were the only thing for that entire event to do. So we did like three or four concerts, and I started repeating songs because we'd run out of material. It just was a little bit of a catastrophe in a way. And but I met a lady there who used to be Catholic, and she gave me this book, and I started reading that. And then on the way home, we stopped at like a monastery, and I started grabbing some books from there. And I started reading books. A friend of mine started reading books in the band from Catholics about Catholicism. So this journey unfolded for a couple years, and I remember even getting a hold of the St. Joseph tapes, and I would listen to those, and I just would come home, and my wife and I would just go through this list of all these things Catholics believed and why they believed them, and I remember just feeling like I'm finding their arguments more convincing than my arguments. And as a result of that, one day I was sitting in my chair, and this is that epiphany moment at my house, and I was just studying some things about the faith, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you know, Chris, for, you know, 27 years or so, 29 years, you've been basically the final authority when it came to decisions about faith and morals. And, you know, that's not really the way that I wanted this to work. And so I began to think about verses like, I pray that they would be one, even as you and I are one, or I, you know, kingdom divided against itself will not stand. And I thought about the 30,000 denominations, and we've been to so many of them, great people in all of them. And then I just remember thinking, well, what if there's just 100 different Protestant denominations? But that's still not answering Jesus's desire for one. And at the end of the day, I realized that the Holy Spirit's not schizophrenic. He doesn't say one thing to one person and one group and another to another. And ultimately, I realized this authority issue was the game changer. And I just had that aha moment, like, I need to do this. I need to become Catholic, because if this is what Jesus wanted, if this was his prayer, why am I part of, you know, something that was at odds with that prayer? So I found myself in the RCIA program, and I liked the fact that it was a number of months, because I thought, at least I can get out of this if it's crazy. And at some point in the game, Linda and I, my wife and I, we were so convinced that we were on the right path that we decided to have our kids baptized even before we'd finished our RCIA program. It just was really a radical, like, it was almost like all this prep and all of this time of studying and reading and talking, and then bam, it just kind of all was like, okay, we're in, we're going to do this, with the realization that my career in the CCM industry could be done, you know, like that we would have gigs that would no longer want us, because, you know, Catholics and Protestants at that time, it was very few and far between that were doing collaborative work together.
That's very true. And folks, you, if you've listened to this program for any length of time, you know that one of the collaborative things that we do is we take a break, where we can give a shout out to our underwriters and our sponsors and some public service announcements. And that's what we're going to do right now. And so thank you for setting your dial to 88.1 FM and this show, Faith in Action. I'm Joanne Fox, and stay tuned. We will be right back.